This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malola Lee and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and I'm Tongan Australian and have been subbed off the rugby field and subbed into the radio station and absolutely love sharing stories from our Pacifica sports people here on Radio Australia as well as TV as well. And as per usual, today I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific who will share the latest local sports news in the islands. So let's get to them right now. My first co-host is the Breakfast Radio host and reporter for the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation. It is the one, the only, Cynthia Setter. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello, Sam. Hello, Olketa. It's good to be back here.
It's always wonderful to have you back. And the Solomon's been a busy, it's always a busy week for you, actually. But what's the biggest story in the town there over in the Solomon Islands?
Well, that's right, Sam. Here in the Solomon Islands, the big talk of the town right now is especially around here in Honiara, where Solomon Islanders are looking forward. Some of the younger generations right now, you know, it is the very first time that they'll be seeing the sailing boats sailing, making the ocean voyage to Honiara for the PIF meeting that will start on Monday. And everyone's expected to look forward to seeing the two canoes making their arrival just around the eastern end of Honiara, where the Marine School is located. So it is another, you know, achievement for Solomon Islands being the host for this year's PIF meeting. And everyone's looking forward to seeing the young voyagers who will be participating in this PIF meeting to arrive on the canoes, the traditional canoes, and one of which belongs to Solomon Islands from the remote islands of Temotu province called Te Puke. Yeah, so everyone's looking forward to seeing the young people representing the different ocean, different Pacific islands coming in and arriving on the shores of Honiara anytime from this week. So that is one of the biggest stories happening here in the Solomon Islands right now.
Love it. Thank you so much for filling us in there. But let's get to our other co-host who is joining us for the second time on the show. And thankfully, we didn't scare her off last time in Palau because we were live there in Palau where she made her debut. She is the multimedia sports journalist for Fiji, Taina Basialo. Bula.
Bula, mbula vinakatale, Sam and Cynthia. It's great to be back.
It is good to have you back, and thank you so much for joining us again. You did have a great debut over in Palau. I'm a bit, bit disappointed we don't get to see each other in person, but here you are again on the show. Taina, we're going to get into plenty of action from Fiji, but before we get there, I just want to ask you about the T20 World Cup cricket qualifying tournament that's happening next week. You know, cricket's not a massive sport in Fiji, but it is growing. Will you be heading out to any of those games?
Absolutely, Sam. It's just a 2 minutes walk from where I work. And, you know, just over the years, I've seen the interest grow in the sport. But, you know, particularly the people from Laos, they I know they usually here for the cricket games because they send over a few teams from the islands to compete, apart from teams that we have from Suva and Nandi. So we're expecting a lot of the Laoan ladies to be loud and proud on the stands when the cricket starts next Tuesday here at Albert Park in Suva.
How good. I'm sure you'll be on a long lunch break then when if it's only 2 minutes away, walking down there. Perfect. Looking forward to hearing more about those results later. But let's get to what's coming up on the show. We'll hear a chat with an incredible PNG athlete that I caught up with, Dawna Longbutt, who I spoke to last week while I was in PNG.
Because I was bedridden, that's when I started learning to walk again, sit up on the bed, and then my dad usually like get me around, walk around my bed, my hospital bed, and then walk me outside of the hospital. And like that's where it helped a lot, like that my perseverance and my faith.
We'll hear from Henry Elder in the world of Fiji weightlifting after the Commonwealth Weightlifting Championships in India.
I intend to push at least by another 15 to 20 kilos in their totals by the final qualifications.
We'll also get to hear from the founder of Girls for Sport, Wendy Esther, and the goals for female empowerment in football in the Pacific.
Our goal is simple but yet powerful, to train more girls into football and build their confidence and teamwork, create safe spaces for them.
Plus, there's news in the world of football, rugby union, athletics, and of course, we will be playing some of the greatest radio games ever to hit the airwaves. So let's get into it.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific Sports.
Yes, on Fresh Off the Field, you will hear sports stories galore. And at the top of the show, we do like to start big and see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
Yes, it's the Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town. It's the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion on. And if it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. And Cynthia, let's start in the Solomon Islands. What have you got for us?
Here in the Solomon Islands, you know, we just witnessed a tough battle for the under-16, OFCA men's under-16 here in the national capital of Solomon Islands, up at the eastern end of Honiara at the National Stadium. So after a much-fought battle against the teams that participated, there are three teams that are qualified now to enter the Oceania FIFA Under-17, the FIFA Under-17 World Cup in Qatar that will be happening at Doha. So after the much-fought battle under the young boys aged of 16 and below, the three teams that all the Solomon Islands are watching for the 2026 Under-17 World Cup is New Zealand, New Caledonia and Fiji. New Zealand, being the defending champions, regained their title after they defeated New Caledonia. And then we have New Caledonia in the second place and Fiji won in the third place, gaining them another opportunity to attend and be part of the FIFA Under-17 World Cup. Everyone's so happy that these three teams will be representing the Pacific Islanders and the football of the Pacific. And of course, they can't wait to watch their favorite teams, especially these three teams, to represent them, making the name of Pacific football in the international stage.
Yeah, huge congratulations to our Pacific Island teams that have qualified for that World Cup. But it's actually the World Cup in November 2025 this year. They're going to have a World Cup every year for the next 5 years. So it doesn't give too much time for preparation for Fiji, being the last team qualifying. So they've got a huge task ahead, but I've got no doubt they'll be prepared really well for that one. And all the best, and yeah, big congrats to New Caledonia and New Zealand as well. Let's get to you now, Taina. What's the talk of the town in Fiji?
So, Sam, the World Cup is happening right now, but not in Fiji, but we have the Fijiana representing the country for the second time in the Women's Rugby World Cup. So what happened is they have been victims of online attack, hate speeches, negative comments. And, you know, it's just a difficult time for the team right now, being in the biggest stage of women's rugby and also having to deal with the outside pressure and the stress from your own people back at home. But what they don't know is that they don't realize how hard these ladies have worked to get a spot at the World Cup. And the team as a whole have really worked hard to be there in England. So, you know, despite the negative comments, I myself, you know, sometimes make sure to reach out to some of the players and drop a message to hopefully brighten their day. But I'm definitely looking forward to when they play Wales next, which is going to be this Sunday. And I believe, yeah, it is their final pool game after playing Canada in their first round and Scotland in the second round over the weekend.
Yeah, it's very disappointing to hear about these comments. And I guess if you head to their socials and you saw how the players responded, it was very heartfelt, like it was a heartfelt message from the players. You know, they are doing their best, and they actually had a little catwalk as well. I think it was yesterday, which didn't damper the mood at all. But when you hear those comments, though, from, especially when it comes from within your own country, you know, how do we help educate, you know, our fans and manage the expectations? Because there is so much that goes on behind the scenes that people don't know about.
That's absolutely right. From my perspective, you know, as a media personnel, I really can't be giving my opinions. But, you know, whenever I get the chance and when I'm in circles, just having lunch, or when I'm out in an event, it's always good to talk about the positive side of things and just how hard these ladies have put their bodies on the line, and, you know, all the hard work, the sacrifices, you know, the lack of sleep just to be there to represent the country. So while we are not able to educate everybody on how things really go on behind the scenes, and how, you know, these ladies are facing, or how they are taking all the hate speeches and online attack, I think it's best that wherever we go, you know, just share a little positive message on behalf of the team, and try to get everybody on your level of understanding of how everything works, and how the team needs you to be there for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you think about, say, England being number one, and the amount of money that gets poured into their preparation compared to how much money gets poured into Manusina or Fijiana, there's a big difference there. So there's a lot that needs to happen to be able to close that gap in the future. But for now, it's the ladies are doing a wonderful job, and good luck for the rest of the games over there at the World Cup. And as always, thank you so much for filling us in on what's flying around on the Coconut Wireless, Cynthia and Taina.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. And Cynthia, let's go to you first. What's caught your eye in the Solomons?
Yes, here in the Solomon Islands, some of the stories that have caught my eyes. The recent Palau Mini Games double silver medalist, GJ Jr., has added another medal to his list, as he secured a silver medal at the recent 2025 Fly Solomon's Peace Marathon that was held on the end by the end of August this year for the Solomon Airlines. And as he completed the grueling 42 kilometers race for the first time, Junior clocked a time of 3:10:17.03 to claim second place in the men's event, where he earned himself a silver medal. That's a $2,000 cash prize and a carton of butter biscuit. That's his prize awarded to him for winning. Speaking to the local media after the race, Junior expressed his satisfaction with his performance despite losing the lead, as he hoped he'd did on the recent performance he did. But then, although he didn't manage his place well in the race, he admitted that he was the lead from the start, from Tenaru to Hot Bread in Honiara Point Cruz, but then he started to feel fatigue on the way as he made his return, which forced him to take a 10-minute break. So he explained that at the Palau Mini Games, he made his half-marathon debut, earning Team Solomon's first medal and a silver in the 10,000-meter race. But then he looked forward to won this Fly Solomon's Peace Marathon. But then he's happy with his clock in so far, and hoping to did well in another event next time. So we just wish Junior more of his event all the very best, as he continues to fly the Solomon Islands flag in all the races that he participated in.
Absolutely, an impressive time, $2,000. And did you say biscuits as well as a prize?
Yeah.
Yes.
He actually won himself a carton of biscuits,
Carton of biscuits. Which one would you prefer, the carton of biscuits or the $2,000 prize money?
I think both.
Fair enough. All right, absolutely love that. And how about from across the Pacific? What have you got for us?
So in the Pacific, rugby has becoming an inspiration from the Fijian team for Solomon Islands. But the recent inspiring story for the Fijians to the Solomon Islands is the Fijian Rugby Backline Player of the Year. He was awarded during his recent participation for Honiara Rugby Union Association. This is 24-year-old Fijian Filivo Eroni Filippo. And interestingly, he's preparing for trials to represent Fiji at the upcoming Oceania Sevens Championship 2025. And this will be also taking place here in Honiara, Solomon Islands as well. But interestingly, he has an extensive experience by playing for Fiji beat Amari Sevens this year, where he played a pivotal role in helping Dominion Brothers Rugby Club secure silver medals. And also he transitioned from Dominion Brothers to Diesel Power RC last season before signing up with the Tavoli Giants RC this year. So following this year's performance that he did with Tavoli Giants, narrowed 17-5 victory against Osotasi Leopards RC in the third place playoff in last week, Filippo expressed his gratitude, but at the same time says that he's looking forward to representing Fiji in this next season of rugby that will be happening here in the Solomon Islands. So all of the Solomon Islands rugby fans and players are looking forward to his extensive performance for this season in this next league that will be happening in the Solomon Islands.
Oh, Fijians and Sevens, it's just like bread and butter, the perfect combo. Absolutely love hearing those stories, and I'll never get tired of hearing Fijians and playing Sevens. So thank you for that. And Tana, how about in Fiji? We'll go to you now. What do you want to share with us?
So there's only one club from Fiji that has secured its spot in the inaugural OFC Professional League. And this means that the Mba club will be out of the new 2026 competition. And after a thorough club licensing process, it was revealed that the Bulla Boys will represent the nation. While the club from Mba did not make the final list, the Oceania Football Confederation has approved a total of 8 clubs, which are still subject to final compliance checks. And other teams that are part of the OFC Pro League, the confirmed clubs are Bulla Boys, Hikari United FC, Solomon Kings, Tahiti United, Vanuatu FC, and they will be joined by Auckland FC and Christchurch United from New Zealand and South Melbourne from Australia, the only teams from outside the OFC region. So the first season will be running from January to May next year. And they'll have, with each of the 8 clubs, they will be playing a minimum of 17 matches in a unique circuit series format. And this will be held across the Pacific.
Yeah, awesome. Speaking of Bar, the draw will be taking a home game over there to play in that soccer stadium. So it'll be interesting to see how the crowd gets there for that one. Can't wait for it. But what else have you got for us from across the Pacific?
Well, big news out of Tonga. The Tonga Sports Association and the National Olympic Committee just recently named the Tonga men's netball captain, Roman Vaihu, as a chef de mission for their delegation for their 2026 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. So he'll be the man in charge of leading Team Tonga onto the world stage, handling everything, you know, from logistics to athlete welfare, and also representing the nation at official events. Vaihu's no stranger to leadership. He was actually captain of Tonga's first ever men's netball team and brought them to Fiji for their debut invitational tournament just a few weeks ago. And he also sits on Tassanok's executive board. Away from sport, he serves as CEO of Tonga's office of the ombudsman, so he brings a mix of governance and sporting experience that the committee believes makes him the perfect fit for the job. And the appointment's been welcomed across the Tongan sporting community, with Netball Tonga especially proud of one of their own stepping into this prestigious role.
Yes, the Commonwealth Games are sneaking up on us. Will you try and get over to Scotland to cover it? Any money in the budget?
I wish.
That laugh, Let's hope gave it away. All we can do is hope. But thank you so much for Cynthia and Taina. We're always chockers with amazing sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. All right, it's time to switch things up and see who is a good liar. And we're going to play Gyaman Stupwear, which is Tok Pissin for Pick the Lie. And this will be a good one because I believe no one really knows if Taina's a good liar or not so far. It's only her second episode. But each co-host will tell us 3 things about themselves. 2 will be true and 1 will be a lie. And the other 2 co-hosts will try to Gyaman Stupwear. And Cynthia, we'll let you have the honours of going first, just so we can let our other co-host just warm up a little bit.
Okay, so 3 things about myself. I guess the lie, the first one is I worked most mornings to work. I am left-handed. I got a scar from falling off a bicycle, for riding the bicycle for the first time.
That didn't sound convincing at all. All right, Dana, you know the drill? I'm assuming you know the drill, actually. Which one is the lie here?
I think the lie is that she's a lefty.
Why's that? What gives it away?
Because I grew up with left-handed people all my life. She doesn't sound like a lefty to me.
It does. So how do left-handed people sound then?
I don't even know how to explain that, but they just have a certain tone.
A certain tone. Okay. Well, I am going to go with, I reckon you do walk to work. I feel like I've heard you say you're left-handed before. I'm going to go with the lie is number three, riding a bike. You didn't ride a bike. You don't have a scar.
Okay, so I did have this scar since I was a little kid, but I am not a left-handed, so I guess Dinah really did grow up with left-handed guys.
Wow, that's amazing.
Oh, there you go. How good. Dinah, let's get to you now. What are your three things? What have you got for us?
So the three things. First one would be, I prefer morning shift over afternoon. My birthday is this month. I am a boy mom.
A boy mom. What's a boy mom?
Like, I have sons only.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, okay, yep. How many sons do you have? A little giggle you have. It's a left-handed giggle or right-handed giggle. Okay, Cynthia, what are you thinking here? Which one's the lie?
I think I'll have to go with the second one.
You're saying the lie is her birthday is not in September. Okay, I am going to say the third one is the lie. I swear you told me you don't have kids.
Yep.
Yep.
You're correct, Sam.
I'm correct? Oh, sweet.
Yes.
Okay, so there you have it. So how old are you actually?
I'll be turning 29 soon.
29. Oh, wow, you look so much younger when I saw you in person. So I was just thought.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
thank you.
You do. It must
thank
be that,
you so much.
That Fijian glow makes you look younger. How good. the awesome. Non-stressful life over there. But there you have it. All the lies have been revealed. Was that one all? One all. Perfect. I'll take a draw any day. But as always, thank you so much for playing. We learn something new every week.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, it's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific. You know, as well as hearing about the sports results and stories, we love hearing from everyone involved in the game with some chats from across the region. And Cynthia, let's start with you. Who did you chat to this week?
So this week, I am so fortunate to have met some of the life-changing women and their initiatives and talk about their initiatives to empower girls and women through football. And I spoke to one of the founders of a program called Girls for Sport Foundation in the Solomon Islands. It is an initiative to support young girls in growing their talent and skill in football. So I am so fortunate to spoke to Wendy Esther. She's one of the co-founders of this program, and she tell us about what the aims and goals of these initiatives are.
So basically, Girls for Sport is a locally led, women-driven foundation that I co-founded with Antoinette Miniti and Lydia Tegerobo. We started it because we saw the need to empower girls in the Solomon Islands through sport, as well as leadership and life skills. Our mission is to give girls equal opportunities to play, learn, and grow, especially starting from the grassroots. So our goal is simple but yet powerful, to train more girls into football and build their confidence and teamwork, create safe spaces for them, and more importantly, promote gender equality. And we also want to build pathways so that more girls can stay in the sport, especially in long term. So when they stay long-term into the sport, that will lead to leadership roles. The more they sustain in their program, they grow and they can take leadership roles in the future.
Wendy, this is an interesting program for the girls, and I know that this definitely will give a safe space for our women and girls that will be participating in this program. But what programs are within Girls for Sport?
So our first flagship program is called Seek and Play 2. So Seek and Play 2, we launched it recently in August, and we currently have two schools in Honiara, Florencian and Boa Valley schools. So we're working with girls aged 8 to 13. In the future, we hope to move it down to 6 to 12 years old, more of a grassroots level. And the program, we do football fun sessions where they not only learn about football skills, but also teamwork, discipline and leadership. And then we also plan to extend into more schools in the future with clear pathway that aligns with CIF football pathway in community and national.
Yeah, that's a really motivational platform that will get on the girls to come out and be part of the, sports in the country. What are the expected outcomes of this program?
So we aim to train at least 300 primary school girls in football fundamentals to spark long-term interest in the game. And we aim to grow a pool of future women players and leaders through this program. And more importantly, we want to see more confident, active young girls who know they belong and that they can also achieve great things in life. Girls for Sport Foundation is more than football. This platform is about giving girls in the Solomon Islands the chance to play and lead and to dream big by looking at role models. They're going to be their mentors in this platform. Through our Seek and Play 2 program, we already reaching young girls in schools and building their confidence, teamwork and leadership skills. So we hope to see more support from parents, schools, CIF especially as the football body, and our community in overall to see the importance of this movement. And with this, we can turn this movement for a lasting change and also raise a new generation of more confident future leaders, especially our women in this male-dominated society.
Cynthia, how important is a program like this for young girls in the Solomons?
Yeah, I know that this one is really an important one for girls in the Solomon Islands, especially, you know, some of the girls that are coming out of their comfort zone, some of them, you know, coming from homes that are broken. So an initiative such as this would really, really grow these girls, motivate them. And also it is a time out from their different situations they're coming from everywhere across, their home. So I think this one is really an important start for the young girls and a way forward to breaking the cycles and the situations that they've been through.
And for yourself, what was sport like for you growing up?
Well, you know, growing up, I've also play futsal when I was in high school, playing for my high school back then. And, you know, I played with my friends and my classmates. So when we come together to play during the weekends, representing our schools, they talk about what they experienced in their homes and what it was like, the things they've been facing. But, you know, as young girls that time, so I guess it is very important that such initiatives such as these ones are being implemented to motivate girls, but at the same time provide a platform that they can share themselves and have people around them that really understand where they're coming from.
Nice, very well said. And now let's get to you, Tana. Who did you chat to this week?
I had the pleasure of speaking to weightlifting Fiji's head coach, Henry Elder, and we spoke about the recent Commonwealth Championships outing in India, which they just returned from. It was an incredible week for the lifters, and out of the group that went, Taniela Rainimbongi, our triple Pacific Games gold medalist, has booked his spot for next year's games in Glasgow. So we also spoke about their training schedules and how, you know, there's not much time to rest and that they'll be just given a few days of break before they're back at it. And they'll keep going until the final qualifiers, which will be in May next year. And I asked Coach Henry about their performance in India as well.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, this has been a really great performance. We had four athletes who were in the A group, which is the top 13 in the Commonwealth. And they have actually maintained their rankings in the top 10. For the Commonwealth Games to qualify outright, you have to be in the top 8. But that has to be maintained up until the final qualification in May next year. So at any time, people will be lifting in continental competitions or in any area competitions, and they can also push their way up. So we're very confident that all of these athletes will qualify for the Commonwealth Games next year.
Coach, you did mention that they need to maintain before the final qualifiers in May next year. Maybe just some of the ways that you will, you know, between now and May next year, that you will help the team to maintain their standings.
The performances that they're doing right now, I intend to push at least by another 15 to 20 kilos in their totals by the final qualifications. That will secure the spots in the top 8. Failing that, they have a chance through the wild card. I'd rather they try and qualify outright. And so our key is, and our focus right now is to get them to push their totals by 10 to 15, maybe even 20 kilos by that time. Well, that's going to be a big challenge, but I believe it's possible.
And I believe you guys will be reaching Fiji in the next few hours, if I'm correct. When do you guys go back into training?
We've already started training. And when athletes finish off with the competition, we give them a day of recovery. The following day, they go slowly back into it. So we've already started. Some people have been training 2-3 times already. We go back home, I'll give them about a week just to see the families, take some time off, and then we right back into it again.
And after this, where is your next competition and when?
So we've had already 7 international events this year. It is really tough for an athlete to maintain high performances. So now we go back, we'll be doing some assessments, we'll be doing some testing, we'll try and get some physio work done, rehab over the next 2 to 3 months, and then during this period here, we'll also start in our best work. So we've got a lot of things to do. There's a few people who need to work on some areas of weaknesses and injuries, some rehab. And I think this time here will be time for them to be able to bounce back, freshen up a little bit, because they've had a very, very tough year so far.
And maybe any final words to, you know, the supporters, the constant people who have helped push Weightlifting Fiji to where it is today?
Yes, we just want to say thank you so much for all those, you know, who continue to support us. We love you so much. We appreciate you so much. You are the reason why we do what we do. You know, it's, as they say, God and country. And for all those who continue to say, you know, go Fiji, go, you know, Facebook messages, like our pages, our Facebook and Instagram pages, comments, all those things there. We really, really appreciate you, you know. This is what drives the athletes. This is what motivates us as a team, as a family, to continue to work hard and achieve. It's because we have some reason, and the reason is you. And so to Fiji, thank you so much.
Tony, what were some of the other standout results for the Fijian weightlifters from the Commonwealth Championships in India?
Well, in the women's 86kg division, Miriama Taletawa, who was our Sportswoman of the Year, she delivered a personal best snatch of 91 kilos, added 112 in the clean and jerk, and closed out with 203kg total. So that effort secured her a bronze medal in the junior category. We also saw a gutsy effort from 23-year-old Apakuki Tambua Waiwai. He also set a personal best first in the clean and jerk at 120 kilos. He nailed his first two snatch attempts at 80 and 85 before just missing 90 on his final lift, but he still walked away with a strong showing. And in the men's 79 kg, Daniel Shaw was on form. He opened with a personal best snatch of 117 kilos, followed it up with 152 in the clean and jerk, and he wrapped up with a 267 kilo in total. And also a special mention to Mireya Turanganivalu, who came away with personal best across the board, 70 kilos in the snatch, 86 in the clean and jerk, and for 156 kilo total. So yep, it's been a championship full of personal milestones and also a golden moment for our golden boy Reini Mbongi.
When I was in Palau, going to the weightlifting was one of my favorite events. I just love seeing athletes lifting big weights, big tin. Did you manage to get to the weightlifting when you were there in Palau?
Oh, yes. I saw you there a couple of times. It was actually one of my favorite things to watch there as well.
You're not supposed to say that. If I ask you, they're not supposed to say that because I forgot, right? My memory's not great. But what did you love about the weightlifting there?
Well, you know, you know, the look on their faces after they are able to lift or, you know, get a personal best in their lifts, just that satisfied look at the end of the competition is something that really gives me a fulfilling feeling, if that makes sense. Like, it's just seeing them achieve everything that they've worked hard for. That's makes it overall interesting. And, you know, to see all these women lift all those heavy weights, whoa. I just don't know what to say, but it's pretty impressive.
Did it inspire you to make a career change and try and head down that path to be a weightlifter?
Well, I've actually been thinking about it, not going to lie.
You have been thinking about it?
Ooh, yeah.
Watch this space. We could be seeing you over there at some point lifting some big tin, but absolutely love that. Thank you so much. And this week, I want to play out a chat I had with Dawna Longbat from my time in Papua New Guinea last week. She has a mind-blowing story of rugby league aspirations and a horrific injury, challenges with the illness of her mother, and then all her incredible achievements after recovering. Longbat is considered one of the best multi-sport talents in PNG, and Jamie Huddle, who was with us in PNG, calls her a superwoman. And I started by asking Dawna about how faith helped her return to sport after the injury she sustained.
During that time, I had, like, my mom was a really strong believer of faith, God, and she kept on praying and encouraging me. And every time, like, I'm in the hospital in my sickbed, she texts a good morning text, and then she sends me, like, Bible text to read. So in the morning I wake up, you know, I wake up to messages and a Bible text. So it makes me look forward for the next day, and, like, it keeps me positive, like, have a positive mindset that I can still make it out of there.
Do you remember a particular Bible verse that she sent to you that still sticks with you?
There's a whole lot of them. One would be the story of Job in the Bible. My mom said, like, Job lost everything during that one time, and then God blessed him 10 times more with what he lost. So that's what stick with me. So every time I feel down, I remember, like, oh, maybe there's something 10 times good that I will achieve later. So yeah, I just keep being positive and have faith and hope that, yeah, better days are coming.
So when you started to process that and start, I guess, with your mental mindset and thinking positive and allowing yourself to believe that there is more for you in life, how did you start to turn everything around?
Yeah, that's when because I was bedridden, that's when I started learning to walk again, sit up on the bed, and then my dad usually, like, get me around, walk around my bed, my hospital bed, and then walk me outside of the hospital. And, like, that's where it helped a lot, like, that my perseverance and my faith. And then I started walking, and the rest is, like, history. Like, I got better. I got my weight back and my, yeah, everything.
When all of that started to happen, when did you realize that you wanted to compete in sport again?
Actually, I didn't want to compete anymore, like, really? After that. I got an offer. I repeated grade 12 again in 2018, back in my high school in Kokopo Secondary School. And then I got an offer to come to DBTI, Don Bosco Technical Institute, to get my degree here. But then I left school because of a lot of practical work that I couldn't do. So So I just stayed home, and then I found out business, and then I continue with my studies in business management. And then my dad is like commentator with the local TV. So he, one time he met with the para sports, the para athletics team. They were preparing for Tokyo. That's back in 2021, I think. Yes. So he interviewed them, and then he asked if I could come and try out. And then that's one morning I was doing breakfast, like at home, and then he came up to me, and then he said, do you want to try out this, like, para sport, para athletics? And I was like, no, I don't want to do any more sports. Yeah, I told him that, and he was like, okay. Actually, it was during dinner. And he was like, okay, it's fine. And then in the morning, I was, like, thinking of my mom, and, like, what will she say? Like, because my mom passed back in 2018 before we came to Port Moresby. So I was like, maybe I should go and try it out, you know. I have nothing to lose, so I can just go and try it out. So we came, my dad brought me here, we met with the coaches, all that, and then because they were busy preparing for the games, I did my own training. So I was here, and then my cousin, Relly Kaputin, she was also training for Tokyo, so I told her, oh, can I come and just run or do a session with you? And then she said, yeah, why not? Just come, come on. I was like, okay. And then I didn't know this place, so when I came in front, the security stopped me in front, and they were like, you, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm trying to go in. I'm coming to train as a paraathlete, and then they let me in. That's where I started, you know, training, and until 2022, where I went to Birmingham to get classified and start competing internationally.
What a journey.
Yeah, it's a long story.
Oh, what a beautiful story. So from the time, so this very track that we're at, so this is where you first started training to be a para-athlete.
Yeah, to be a para-athlete.
To be a para-athlete.
Yes.
And then when you went to Birmingham to get classified, was that for the Commonwealth Games, or did you just get classified there?
I got classified during a GAPS camp. Like, it's what the Commonwealth sports, they run this GAPS camp every year for athletes trying to qualify or get classification for, you know, international competition. So, yeah, I went to that camp with two other athletes, and then I got classified there. And I also competed first time internationally. There was a low comp there in Birmingham for the British Athletics, so we competed first time experience there.
How were you feeling, like, in that moment when you had to compete probably for the very first time after all the challenges that you went through? Like, how were you feeling in that moment that you were now competing as an athlete again?
That time, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was pinching myself, like, is this real? Am I playing sports again? But, yeah, it was really good to get that another chance to play sports again, because I thought I wouldn't be playing sports anymore. But, yeah, it was really kind of a wow feeling.
Wow feeling.
Yeah.
And what about that moment when you finished the event?
Yeah, when I finished my event, like, I was competing for discus.
Oh, discus. Time. Oh, yeah, okay.
Because when I started with the throw event. So,
yep.
Yeah, I competed with, like, athletes from around the world that came for the GAPS camp. African athletes and British athletes, everyone. Everyone was there for the camp that we went to, they competed. So it was good to get that international experience in and that exposure to compete, like, at a very high level. So, yeah, it was really good.
And that was Donna Longboot, and you're going to hear more of Donna Longboot's chat in a couple of weeks' time when I sat down with her for that Pacific Sports Show for the special one-hour episode celebrating 50 years of independence in PNG. It was a wonderful chat. She actually had me tearing up as well on one of her stories. So she's one of my new favourite athletes. But as well as being in PNG with the Hunters making the quarterfinals this week, I went down to Hunters training and caught up with a couple of the players, but also caught up with Paulie Aiton, the head coach of the Hunters. Man, I love his energy. I love what he's doing with that team and the excitement that is in the air for the Hunters, especially with the new NRL team coming into the competition. There's plenty of good things happening in the rugby league space, and Paulie Aiton is the man to be able to deliver all those pathway systems and feed into that NRL team. And he was actually on Nijan Footy a couple of weeks ago while I was away in PNG, and Will Hopoate and Tinera Arona, they caught up with him and had a fantastic chat about what's happening in PNG in preparation of the new NRL team.
What's the most challenging part of coaching a team like the PNG Hunters?
External factors.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a team that has so much, because culturally, when there's a death, you know, you normally grieve for a week, nearly once a week there's somebody, you know, I haven't noticed that much ever. You don't realise, but there's so much death. Yeah, it affects that player and then us as well. Mm. Obviously performance, but we just feel sorry. So I find that external factors, death being one of them, sickness, malaria, dengue fever, almost weekly occurrence where one of our skip legs played with dengue fever.
Wow.
It's pretty bad. Like worse than, I've never had it, but boys have it all the time. So they told me about it. And malaria kills, you know, it's bad. You know, they'll just go get a needle and it's bad. Yeah, I think external, family, and then mindset as well, which is, I guess, kind of external, you know, the way you brought up in a professional environment. I think that's the biggest thing. Your boy's willingness is always there. That's not a problem. Speed and strength is not, it's not the issues.
Yeah.
Nor the external, I reckon, yeah.
Yeah, well, strength is definitely not an issue. I know being opposition, no one wants to play the Kumuls because of how physical the players are. And PNG is actually getting an NRL team, obviously.
Yeah,
how excited are you for that?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. I think it's a really good thing. You know, I know there's some publicity about not a good thing, but I think it's a terrific thing. And I think, you know, rugby league's not here to solve hospital problems and anything like that. But I think one thing that we can do is upskill a lot of, obviously, players.
Absolutely.
And I've already seen it. Maybe because I'm on the ground and I've been here for a few years, I've seen the movement on the ground. It's employed so many people already. And it's going to employ more. It's upskilling a lot of coaches, trainers, players are getting the benefits of it. It's a really good thing. I think long-term, if it's on the trajectory it is now, which is up, it's going to be massive. For the game as well.
Yeah, definitely.
For the game as well.
Before I get to, we'll speak about some of the challenges that might come around creating, you know, this NRL team. But one thing that always comes to mind was a couple of years ago, I was over there for the Pack Champs and we got to cross paths. And you're like, oh, you know, let me come in. I'll come pick you up and I'll take you out. But there's always this reputation that people may have about PNG and, you know, that it being unsafe. But the way that you spoke about some of those areas that you wanted to take me to, you know, being a safe place and being beautiful, can you share to our listeners about, you know, what that looks like and, you know, some of those, that reputation or rumours, you know, what does the good side look like?
Definitely, I'd love to. Well, actually, in front of me is my wife. I married a French girl from the south of France, and we moved to Australia. And to come here wasn't so easy because her parents, full French, just looked on the internet, and which is normal, right? It's completely normal. It wasn't an easy decision for her to make to move here. But since she's moved here, she gets around, she drives by herself. I've got two small children.
Mm.
Was a three-year-old girl who moved here. When we moved here, she was one. My son's six, going to grade one. So I'm living that, you know, I'm living that life where we had to, you know, go to hospital for the first time. And my wife's been in hospital now. She's pregnant again, sorry.
Congrats.
So, yeah, so we're going through all this, mate. Yeah, thank you. So I know there's going to be a lot of stigma around it, but there are dangerous places, like everywhere. But she drives by herself. She picks up my kids. My son goes to soccer in the afternoons. We've got tennis training, swimming club.
Mm.
My daughter goes to a kindergarten since one. My son goes to another school, grade one. He picks them up, drops them off. I know people are always thinking that, and which is understandable. I completely agree. But I think once you're here, you start to create your own little communities and you meet people and, you know, there are bad things, but there are lovely people here.
Yeah.
You know, we're caring people. There are some bad eggs, like anywhere, but there are good spots and there's beautiful places. I think my wife's done more, seen probably more of this area than I have. Her parents came. Straight from south of France, came for a couple of weeks and stayed, I think, 6 weeks. They loved it.
Wow.
They loved it. I know once people are here and they get to get out and see a little bit of the place,
yeah,
then you go with somebody. There was somebody to show you where to go and things like that. It's a good place.
Yeah, beautiful. We spoke about some of the challenges that the Hunters have now. When you look at the NRL team to be introduced from PNG. Yeah, what do you think is the biggest hurdle?
Well, I think, like we just spoke about, maybe just breaking that stigma a little bit so we can attract players, because we're going to have to. So we're going to have to attract players. So that'll be one. So they're going to have to start, you know, building where the players are going to live. And even now, as it is, even if they don't have that, most places, they're their own little compound anyway. But I think once players get here and the word gets around what it's like here, I think they're going to have a lot of people wanting to come. Mm-hmm. You know, I really believe that. I think once you're here and you see, oh, it's not too bad, more players will want to come here and be a part of it. They might not want to leave, you know. So, I mean, it mightn't be for everyone, but, yeah, that's what I think on that front. I'm hoping that how, you know, I've got the NRL bids going, the PGRSL, they do a really good thing with all the juniors, and it's on an upward trajectory. They've got a women's league now. They've got a juniors system. It's really good. It's on, and I just hope it keeps going that way. And if it keeps going that way, I think we'll export players. You know, I really believe that. So players, at first, yeah, we might have to attract, but later on down the line, I think we're going to have a lot of players here.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
This season, get your footy fix live and ad-free.
Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? It's hammer time!
Every try.
He pins the ears back and he dives over to score in the corner.
And tackle.
What a tackle!
We've got you covered.
That's not a pass, it's a party trick.
NRL. Each weekend.
Bing, bing, bing! Giant set bingo!
ABC Radio Australia. Your home of rugby league in the Pacific.
Fresh off the dome.
All right, before we go, I want to play Quizmaster and test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific. And every week I'll ask three questions. Cynthia and Taina, you will use your name as the buzzer if you think you know the answer. And of course, you can play at home as well. So let's play Fresh off the dome. Ready to go, ladies?
Yes.
I need a little bit more energy than that. Ready to go, ladies?
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go. There we have it. Hopefully I get my questions right this week as well, because last week I had a shocker reading out the multiple choice. Was it multiple choice? Was it not? But anyway, we'll move on and get to question number one. The Youth Netball World Cup starts in 2 weeks in Gibraltar. It will feature Oceania teams like Tonga, Fiji, Cook Islands and Samoa. What is the upper age limit on the players who are playing at the Youth World Cup? You know, in other words, what's the oldest a player can be to qualify for their team?
Taina.
Go for it, Taina.
21.
Ooh, that's a great start. No hesitation. Knew the answer. Quick off the mark. And that is correct. Well done. So 1-0. Cynthia, you still there?
Yep.
Just checking. Just checking. Okay, let's get to question number two. In cricket, the East Asia Pacific T20 World Cup qualifiers start next Tuesday in Fiji. The first game is host country Fiji playing the Cook Islands. The last time these two teams played each other in the fifth place playoff in the Women's T20 Pacific Cup in 2024, the question is 50-50, so you should be okay here. Who won out of Fiji or the Cook Islands?
Taina. Cook Islands?
Wow. She's come on here for a second time on the show and she is absolutely carving you up, Cynthia. It was the Cook Islands. Good luck to them and all the teams competing, and we'll bring you the results over the next few weeks. But there's no need to go to question number three because the chocolates go to Fiji. Congratulations. Yay. There we go. Cynthia, just checking you're still there.
Congratulations, Taina. Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, graceful in defeat. That's how we like to play. If you're not winning, you're learning. So well done to both of you. Thank you so much, because that brings us to the end of our show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, breakfast radio host and reporter for SIBC, Cynthia Setta.
Tagyo to my Sam and Taina.
Beautiful work, and thank you to my other co-host, multimedia sports journalist from Fiji, Vinaka Vakalevu, Taina Basialo.
Thank you, Sam. Nakavalevu.
Vinaka, and thanks for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.
Nijam Footy. Hosted by me, Sam Wykes.
And me, Tenero Aruna. Each week, we'll bring you Pacific Islander stories from on and off the rugby league and rugby union field.
We'll have plenty of special guests, tales from the past, tackle the big topics of today, and look forward to the next-gen Nijam Footy stars.
Nijam Footy. Nijam Footy.
Listen to Nijam Footy on your favourite podcast app.